Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Steve Chandler, he's the author of one book that we've talked about on the show before called Reinventing Yourself, which is his newest book, but another one that we have not talked about, which is what we're going to discuss today, is called 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, Change Your Life Forever. Let me tell you a little bit more about Steve. He's a corporate consultant to many small businesses as well as several Fortune 500 companies. He teaches companies courses in morale, self-motivation, innovative thinking, and creative individual productivity. He's a graduate of the University of Arizona in English and Political Science. He spent 4 years in the U.S. Army in language and psychological warfare branches. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you with us. And by the way, your books are on tape as well, aren't they?
Yes, they are in audiobook format. Available on all the internet bookstores.
My administrative assistant has been listening to your tapes.
Mm.
She likes them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she says, hey, you're going to have Steve back on. I like tell him I like the stuff.
Oh, that's great.
So she's really gotten into it, and I appreciate that. I just want to make sure that you knew that.
Well, I hope she's doing a better job for you now.
Well, yeah, I've become a millionaire just since she started listening.
All right.
Hey, one of the things that you talk about in your book, 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, is in your introduction, you say you have no personality. What do you mean by that?
Well, I try to help people snap out of the old illusion and the old myth that they're stuck inside some kind of permanent personality. And that personality is responsible for a lot of limitations that they have. It's simply not true. We know, if we're honest about it, that we can make up who we are. And who we are to the IRS agent is different than who we are if Meg Ryan should drop by to talk.
Right.
And once we really acknowledge the power we have to be lots of different people, not in a phony way, but to access that inside of us, it's a lot more fun. We can be friendly just by telling ourselves to be friendly when a customer comes by. Instead of wondering whether we feel like being friendly or whether our parents ever taught us the right way to interact with humans and all that stuff we get stuck in.
Well, I like that. That's so well said, because one of the things that's been interesting to me to observe in my life, Steve, are the people who are they're the same identical person at 50 that they were at 25. They're making the same mistakes. They're doing the identical same things at 50 as they were doing when they were 25, and that would, I don't think I could live like that.
No, I know what you mean, and I know those kinds of people. It's kind of sad to see.
Well, and it's a certain level of arrogance, because it's almost as if they say, you know, I was so perfect at 25, why would I want to change? And, you know, they're eating the same foods. I mean, how many people do you know who didn't like broccoli when they were 25, and at 50 they still don't like broccoli? Well, you know what?
Right.
That was me at 25. I would not eat broccoli. But you know what? I love it now. I even eat asparagus. Imagine that.
Well, that's good, because that's good for you.
Well, the thing is, though, being successful in life to me is about growing, don't you think?
Yeah, it really is. It's about starting every day completely fresh with lots of possibilities and being willing to say, I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that and I'm going to try something new today.
Chapter 1 in your 100 ways, I should say your first way in your 100 ways to motivate yourself, you talk about creating a vision. You had a pretty interesting interview about 20-something years ago, didn't you?
Well, it was very interesting. I was a sports writer at the time, and I was really down and out. I was drinking every night with the other sports writers. I did not have a very happy life. And I was given an assignment to spend an entire day with Arnold Schwarzenegger. This was back in 1976.
And you said who?
Yeah, I had no idea
who he was. This is 23 years ago. You said who?
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and nobody knew who he was, and I resented the assignment. He was promoting a movie that was a total bomb. Nobody ever saw it. I still haven't found anyone who's seen this movie.
I haven't.
It was called
Stay Hungry.
Yeah, it was Sally Field and Jeff Bridges. But he was one of the most fascinating people I've ever known because, you know, by the way, he studied business at UCLA, and he's a real businessman, a small businessman himself, mm-hmm. underneath everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Has a real sense for business, and he got involved in Planet Hollywood and did very well in that. And Anyway, he was a fascinating character because he said the secret to anything you go into is to create a vision and then live into that picture that you create as if you were living it today. Don't have it be out in the future. And I wrote all that down, and I thought, well, that sounds nice, but I had no idea what it meant until later in my life. I went back and looked at the story I wrote, and I really realized that is the secret, is to always operate from the future, not live in the future, but have that vision of yours of what you want your business to be and operate as if that were already the way it was.
Well, you know, that would be, the reason I think that's such an interesting story, Steve, is because if you and I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger make that comment today, we would say, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're a multimillionaire, you're a box office superstar, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you're reflecting back on what you maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But you're actually bringing us this report from the past and from 23 years ago when he'd accomplished some things. He'd been a bodybuilder and he'd been, I guess, Mr. Universe by that time.
Yes.
It wasn't like he had no accomplishments. He had some accomplishments, but really at the time that you interviewed him, he was plowing some completely new ground from what he'd been doing before, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, and he was by no means a movie star. No one had heard of him, and he said to me that day, it was down in Tucson, Arizona, he said, I'm going to become the number one box office star in all of Hollywood. That's my vision for myself.
He said that to you 23 years ago.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, he must be on steroids or something.
Because he must have looked and sounded a little bit like a freak. I mean, sitting in front of you all pumped up and everything.
Well, he was huge back then. He wasn't like Arnold today is still in very good shape. People don't confuse me with Arnold. But Arnold back then was huge, and he said, I'm going to be an action hero, and he lived into his vision. He did.
Yeah. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to get Steve to tell us what he means by tell a true lie. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blaxingame, the Small Business Advocate. Steve Chandler is our special guest and our good friend. He's the author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself. We'll be right back. And Steve, I appreciate you joining us to talk about this. One of the things that you talk about in your book, one of the ways to motivate yourself, is you say, tell a true lie. Now, what in the world do you mean by that?
Well, I'm encouraging people to expand their thinking and to really picture themselves in a big way who they'd like to be. And even if it feels like a lie for now, you're lying to yourself anyway when you talk about all your limitations and what you can't do.
Right.
If you're going to lie to yourself, you might as well lie to yourself on the other side of the coin and lie to yourself big. Like, here's what I could really do, here's what's really possible, and allow yourself to see that. Because if you tell yourself that, I call it a lie, facetiously to get people's attention.
Right, I got
you. But it's really just talking to yourself in expanded ways and showing yourself something that's possible. I got the idea when my little daughter was in an activity in school, grade school, where they had to write and read a lie poem, and all the little kids stood up and read their poems, and really half the poems were what those kids wanted to be when they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful thing because they wrote them in the present tense. One of them said, I'm the greatest singer, and another one said, I'm the first woman president of the United States. And I thought, these are real beautiful visions here. And the only way they could tease them out of these kids was to call them lie poems.
Right. To give it a handle that they could hold on to and accomplish the project. You know, I like that because I do this myself, and I'm sure other people do. I find myself saying, what in the world makes you think you can do that?
Yeah.
Or, you must be the dumbest guy in the world to think that you could do this or to believe that or whatever. And, you know, that comes real natural for a lot of us, doesn't it?
That's the old programming. That's how we were raised. That's how we were controlled by other voices in our lives.
Yep.
We just leave that in there out of laziness.
And so as you say, that's more of a lie to yourself than if you say, you know, I can accomplish this. I can do that.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, there's a little tool that I don't think you and I've talked about before, but there's a little tool that I like to recommend to people that people do, and maybe this would be, instead of doing a lie poem for adults, maybe you could do this, and that's to write your resume. I tell people once a year, regardless of what you do, whether you own your own business, whether you're in business, whether you work for someone and you're happy with your job, regardless of what you do, once a year, update your own resume and really maybe do what you were talking about, Steve. Lie to yourself a little bit, but basically write down all the things that you know how to do, all the things that you've learned how to do. And when you do that, I don't know if you've ever done it, Steve, but over the years I've dusted off my resume and moved on to another industry, and I was surprised when I did that I had forgotten that I knew how to do some things that I'd just forgotten about.
Yeah, you've hit on a big thing there, because I believe taking care of your own self-esteem and self-confidence are one of the biggest things in small business. Not to get discouraged and somebody chews you out and you think, well, maybe that's really me. Taking care of your own self-esteem, reminding yourself of your strengths, is really powerful for dealing with vendors and dealing with customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful aspect of who we are.
You've got to be responsible for nurturing your own spirit, don't you?
That's right.
Others aren't going to do that for you, are they?
No, they're not.
Yeah. Let's move on and talk about another point that you have in your 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself. You talk about leaving your comfort zone.
Right.
What's our comfort zone?
Yeah, I think that we subconsciously create comfortable ways of living that don't challenge us. We create comfortable ways of putting it off. So let's say, for example, you have an administrative assistant that you've been meaning to confront on something that she's not doing the way you would like her to, and today you just say, well, you know, we'll talk about that next week. She's got enough to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is called staying inside a comfort zone for the pure sake of it's more comfortable that way for me. But the more I do that, the less conscious I am of opportunities. I don't see that talking about this shortcoming, we could have the greatest conversation we've ever had.
Right.
And
well, there's nothing entrepreneurial about that either, is there?
That's right.
Yeah. Steve, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our good friend Steve Chandler is our guest today. He's the author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, Change Your Life Forever. We've got some more things we're going to talk about when we come back to talk to Steve. One of the things we're going to talk about is moving your goalposts. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Steve, tell our audience where they can get your book.
Well, the most popular place to get it is online, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, and those bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
Online, because people can always get it, and they can get it quickly at the best price.
Right.
Bookstores are running out of the book, so some of the times I hear people in my seminars say, we went to the bookstore, they were all out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I usually like to recommend to buy them online, but they should be in every bookstore. If you have a favorite bookstore, they should be there.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, Steve. Folks, we're talking about how to motivate yourself, and Steve has written a book called 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself. And one of the ways that he suggests that you do that is something he calls move your goalposts. Steve, what do you mean by that?
Well, people tend to set small goals for themselves, and there is a value in setting a milestone goal or a small goal, especially a daily goal. There's a lot of value in that. But as far as overall goals, if I set a goal overall that's too small, if my 5-year goal or my 10-year goal or my lifetime goal that's too small, then I'm not exciting myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the right side of the brain needs excitement to get fired up with innovative ideas. People who make innovative breakthroughs in business are people who get excited about something. And it's impossible to get excited about something if my goals are too small.
Mm-hmm. If you've already been there, if you've already done that, it's kind of hard to get excited about that.
That's right.
Good point. I like that. What are some ways that we move our goalposts?
Well, I think deliberately expanding the size of the goal. For example, when I used to work with people one-on-one, a salesperson would say, well, how do I get up to 100,000 per month? I said, the way to get to 100,000 per month is to plan to hit 200,000 per month. And they would always argue with me and say, no, wait a second, 200,000, that's impossible. I don't want to plan to hit that. I'll only disappoint myself. And I would say, well, don't plan it as something that will disappoint you. Really look at it as a real possibility in order to expand your mind.
Right.
And then finally, when they started doing it that way, they'd think of all kinds of wild ideas. And they'd say, well, to hit 200, I'd have to talk to two people at once. I'd have to be in, and pretty soon they'd bring two clients and five clients into one presentation, and they got wonderful ideas from moving their goalposts and expanding their goals to something unreasonable. It is a wonderful intellectual exercise to make an unreasonable demand on yourself.
Well, I like that idea, and how many times have we wanted to do something? We've started an activity and something new that we've never done before, and we know people who are doing it, doing what we'd like to do. Maybe it be playing golf or riding a bicycle or something like cross country or something like that. And we see these people doing this, and we say, you know, how in the world do they hit a golf ball 250 yards? Or how in the world can anybody ride a bike 65 miles?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an hour's drive. How could you possibly do that? But when you get into it and you prepare yourself and you do a little research and you take some lessons and you learn a little bit and you set these goals for yourself, you find out that it's just a matter of doing it every day and working on it all the time.
That's right.
Another one you talk about is dribble with your other hand. What do you mean by that?
Well, most people think that they do what they do because it's part of their nature. It's part of their, this is just what I'm like, and there's no way I can ever change. I like to think of the great basketball player Larry Bird. Larry Bird dribbled more with his left hand in his life than his right hand, mm-hmm. even though he was right-handed. But it gave him a tremendous advantage on the basketball court. And when little kids come up to you and you're coaching them in basketball and you say, now you're going to have to learn to dribble with your other hand too, or you're going to be too easy to guard, the kid says, well, I can't. And the kid will try to dribble with the subdominant arm and the ball will roll away. And you say, no, it isn't that you can't, it's that you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon, anyone can develop a new habit. I hear people tell me, well, I'm not good with people. I'm not good with customers. I have to send my salesman out. No, it isn't that you're not good with customers. It's you haven't practiced it. You haven't dribbled with that hand yet. You could be great with customers if you would make a conscious effort. Pretend you're an actor, and you're being paid $1 million to be the friendliest person who ever lived. Well, that's hard to do the first time and the second time, but the 100th time, it's hard not to do.
You know, one of the things that makes me dribble with my other hand, so to speak, is I get excited about the possibilities.
Yeah.
I get excited when I think about learning something new or accomplishing something new or meeting new people or being able to understand something I didn't understand before. I get excited about those possibilities, and those kinds of that excitement, that desire to do those things new makes me dribble with the other hand,
yeah.
or to grow myself.
That's right. And if you're having one of those days when you're not really feeling too excited, then pretend you're excited. Do anything it takes to get into something new.
Yeah, good point. All right, Steve, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, when we come back, Steve is going to talk to us about how to leave high school. How about that? Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. By the way, Steve, did you know what caused the Dark Ages?
No, I don't think I do.
Y1K.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I heard that one Friday. I thought that was pretty cute. Let's talk about leaving high school. You know, earlier in the show, we talked about people who were 25 or they were 50 and they were making the same mistakes they made when they were 25. I've gone to reunions, to high school reunions, and I see people there who are still living in the homecoming queen, star football player mode. I mean, that was their attitude.
Yeah.
And right. and also, there were people who wouldn't go because they knew those guys were going to be there doing that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there have been two books written with the title, Is There Life After High School? And each one concluded no. And one of them was written in a spiritual book, and the other was a sociological study of people who, after high school. And most people form their personalities in high school as a reaction to what they're afraid of. In other words, they become very scared that they're not going to be well-liked or they're not going to be popular, and so
right.
they form these very safe, cautious, fear-based personalities right around adolescence, and then they forget that they just made those up and that they don't have to stay that way.
They forget that they just made them up.
That's right. And how would you like to have a life designed by a teenager?
Yeah, oh, and, my goodness.
And most people do.
Yeah. I agree with you. You know, and how many times do you see this?
Well, this is common. This is like most people. We're not talking about just a few people do this. Most people do this. You go to a board meeting in a major business today, and it's like being in high school. Everybody's afraid to speak out. Everybody's trying to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's very excited.
Right.
And it's high school.
Another one that you talk about is you say, get on your deathbed. What in the world could you mean by that?
Well, I was going through a very difficult struggle. I had a small business of my own at the time, 9 people. And I was going through a personal crisis. We had a terrible health problem in my family with one of the members, and I couldn't get myself together motivationally, and I had a very good friend who was a psychotherapist who performed an exercise with me in which I imagined being on my own deathbed and had people in my life come to the side of the bed, and I would say to them the final things I wanted to say about life.
Now, you're just imagining this.
Just imagining this, yes. And the exercise was a good one because it really made me see that we are mortal. Life is very short. It's time to get on with things. Stop,
right.
Stop being self-pitying. Stop feeling overwhelmed. You're not overwhelmed. You'd give anything for this day if you knew your life was over. We talk ourselves into these funny positions like, I'm overwhelmed, this is a hassle, this, and all of this, and it's really, none of it's really true. It's just a convenient place to go because then we don't take any action from that place.
You know, when people tell me that they're, you know, when I say, how are you doing? They say, well, I'm just covered up. I'm so busy. And I say, congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful to have so much going on in your life. You know, and it takes them aback. It takes them off guard a little bit when I say things like that because they're so caught up in their what they actually act like is sort of a negative thing.
Yeah.
And when I tell them congratulations, that you know it sort of brings them back to reality a little bit.
Yeah, you remind me of a business consultant I have, and I come in with a problem, and he says, "You've got a problem? That's great!" And he jumps up and starts clapping his hands.
You know, what I have a little saying that I do on the show here from time to time at the end of the show, and it's something that I just thought about one day. It was something that was happening to me, and I was having a really bad day, and something a real opportunity came in my door. And if I hadn't realized that I was kind of, you know, being mopey, this opportunity would have just flown right out. And I came up with the idea that you probably heard me say it before, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Yeah.
And so much, you know, and I've had a lot of other people to say that meant something to them to hear me say that. And we have to be careful that we don't let our bad days feed over into the opportunities.
That's right. We got to start when we notice we're having one. We got to start it over.
Right.
And I took a lesson from Edison and a lot of the great inventors. That they would take a short nap. They would just say, "I'm starting over," and they'd go somewhere and lie down for 40 minutes, and they wake up and throw cold water on their face and say, "I'm starting today over. The way I started it, that's finished. Now let's get going."
Right. It's a new day.
Yeah.
I like that. Steve, we've got to take a break. We're going to come back in just a minute, folks, and when we do, we're going to get Steve to tell us what he means when he says, leave your friends, and then we're going to get him to help us find our inner Einstein. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Steve Chandler is our special guest. He's the author of 2 books. Both of them we've covered on the show now. One is Reinventing Yourself, How to Become the Person You've Always Wanted to Be, and the other one is called 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, Change Your Life Forever. Look for Steve Chandler's name, folks. I recommend you check out both of these books. And Steve, quickly, one more time, tell us where they can get them.
Well, Amazon.com is the most trustworthy way to get these books. You can get them fastest with the best price, BarnesandNoble.com. But the local bookstores all have them, and they all have them in the computer. They can get them in right away.
If you want to feel it and touch it and look at it before you buy it, then go to the bookstore.
That's right.
Yeah. Steve, let's talk about something in your book, 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself. You talk about leaving your friends. Now that sounds really kind of weird.
It sounds cruel, but we have many friends who really aren't our friends when it comes to having our business thrive. And these are the people, we all know them, who are always telling us why it won't work and always trying. They're pretending to provide a service to us. They're saying, somebody's got to point this out to you. I've got to be the devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
But all they are people who are not supporting us in our vision. And all I'm saying is it's very important to be very aware of who supports our vision and who doesn't, and spend as much time as I can with people who are in support of me.
And that's the challenge, isn't it, Steve? Finding the people who are the naysayers, who are just negative, or they're maybe even a little bit jealous.
Right.
And finding the people who understand your vision and are telling you that you really are about to head down the wrong path. If there's a real challenge to find that person, and typically you're not going to find a lot of people you may find one or two people who actually understand your vision for what you're trying to do and are giving you constructive criticism.
That's right. And those people are even more valuable than the blind supporters who would say everything you do is wonderful. You're correct in saying that. That's a real value. But I think we know who those people are. If we take a minute to think about it, we know who is showing us we're going down the wrong road out of their love for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not always right.
Right.
They're not always correct.
That's the other thing I was going to say is ultimately, at some point, though, you are the one with the vision. You are the one that really has the ability to mint this coin that you're trying to create, and ultimately it's gonna fall back on you.
That's right.
To make the decision, you're not gonna be able to rely on them completely. We got a minute, Steve. Let's talk about how to find your inner Einstein.
Well, people need to realize they only use about 10% of their brains if they're like most people in our society. So it isn't a matter of your IQ. Everyone has potential genius for coming up with that million-dollar idea for your business, but you have to stay in the right frame of mind. You have to stay in the right mental state. That's what Einstein had, more than a high IQ. He was always excited about the universe and quantum physics and things like that. That's all he had that made him Einstein. And everyone has that potential.
Mm-hmm. To be curious.
Yeah, excited, curious, fresh, look at things in a new way.
Sometimes I think the thing that drives me more than anything is my natural curiosity.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what's around the next corner. I want to know what that person that I haven't met yet has to say. And sometimes it gets me in trouble, though. Steve, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you. As always, you've done a great job, and we'll have you back again real soon.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, Steve. Thank you very much. Steve Chandler, folks, the author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself and Reinventing Yourself. It's two different books. Check them out. Got to go for now. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.